If you've been told to pull up your socks, then make sure it's a pair of TNT socks. The TNT shop is now open at tntradio.live. Deconstructing psyops, propaganda, and mainstream media BS. You're with Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, hello and welcome to the Brian McLean Show right here at today's News Talk. TNTradio.live is our website. Look at that. There's a Spore in the chat room. Dunno's in there. Everything is awesome. Thanks for joining me for this live broadcast right here at today's News Talk. I just finished an hour with Steve Hook. We had some great interviews there. If you're just joining us, you're definitely going to want to pick that up in the episode archives. We had May Mailman joining us. We had Amy Pikoff of BitChute. We had California State Senate Minority Leader Brian Jones. And in this hour, I'm going to be talking to The Odd Man Out and Hervore Morick from TNT Radio. It's going to be really good conversation. Now, I touched on this with the senator in the last hour, but let's just do a rundown here. What's going on here in the United States? G-string clad prostitutes prowl San Diego streets as families and businesses are forced to scramble. Prostitution in San Diego has exploded since a controversial California law went into effect this year. As a result, businesses have taken on additional security costs and have warned customers they will likely see near naked women and pimps if they're in the area. So that's up there at Fox News Digital here. A San Diego business owner told Fox News, quote, costs for business, costs for security. We've had to put lights up at our cost on the roof to try to deter them. And because of the bill, the lights now help them when they want to come walk in front of my building to shake and do different things so they get attention versus being in the dark. So crime out from the dark into the light right there in San Diego. And yeah, here's another comment from a business owner here. There's also other crimes popping up around that scene. Go figure. Quote, they'll break into cars, they'll pop tires. We've had a neighbor who had his vehicle broken into multiple times and stolen the tools out of it. So due to the Safer Streets Act, local business owners now need to hide their identity while exposing the problems that the bill has created, which was never a problem before. That same business owner added that comment. So you can see how this sort of mushrooms and there's not a lot of foresight in these sort of policies, litigations, laws, as San Diego is unfortunately finding out right now. Out of Chicago, we've got a stunning video showing a mob attack a Tesla amid a lawless street takeover. We talked about street takeovers in the previous hour as well. Shocking videos show a group of young men in Chicago kicking and attempting to punch out the windows of a white Tesla during a frenzied street takeover. And a retired police chief says these incidents are increasingly common in the crime-ridden city. Quote, it represents lawlessness, and these street takeovers are happening almost every weekend. I'm sure the driver was fearful of being injured or carjacked. Well, unfortunately, in the city of Chicago, it's very unlikely that this driver was armed and prepared to defend themselves due to the strict gun control laws there. So, yeah. You can have a mob attack your car, attempt to carjack it, attempt to break in. Try that in Texas. See what happens. Unless it's at a BLM riot, then you might have different results. But overall, you go to a good state that allows you to protect yourself, you'll find these things happening a lot less. Don't test that in Houston, Austin, or Dallas. Just saying. Speaking of Texas, what do we got? A courtroom brawl broke out in Texas just yesterday between the family of a 16-year-old Texas girl who was shot in the back 22 times and the murder suspect who was accepting a plea deal. Frank DeLeon Jr. was appearing in court in Houston to plead guilty to the case of the 2022 fatal shooting of his 16-year-old ex-girlfriend, Diamond Alvarez. The fight erupted after Alvarez's mother called DeLeon a monster during her victim impact statement. Video from the courtroom obtained by the local station shows Machado leaving the stand and walking toward DeLeon when a bailiff restrains her. Another family member is seen charging at DeLeon and throwing a flurry of punches, and both men end up on the ground. It was an absolute scuffle, a kerfuffle. There's court security intervened there and separated the families. There's images and maybe footage up there attached to this story as well. So we got that going on in Texas. That's great. That's absolutely just great. More headlines to come here. And we will be joined by the Odd Man Out very shortly here. Are you enjoying listening to TNT, though? Do you think we're doing a good job? Please let us know. You can leave us a like, a positive review, or a comment on the socials, you know, Facebook, Gab, Gitter, those kind of things. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time on today's News Talk.
News and talk you can count on.
I can rely on them.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, we've also got President Biden visits Israel as IDF blames Gaza hospital blast on Hamas. Israel, of course, has declared war against the group Hamas. Interesting. Could we call that? If we did that, would we be able to call that a war? I mean, I guess so. We did a global war on terror. Still, terror is not a country. Hamas is not a country. Anyways, I thought wars were supposed to be declared by Congress against a country, but what do I know? Just an American eating sandwiches and stuff. So they're now saying that at least 4,200 people have been killed in the war on both sides, including 1,400 Israeli civilians and soldiers and 31 Americans. Palestinian health authorities say that 2,808 Palestinians have been killed and more than 10,950 wounded. 12 American citizens are unaccounted for. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pledged to defeat Hamas and, quote, wipe them off the face of the earth, end quote, in a speech during the swearing in of the National Emergency Government at the Knesset. So all very interesting. And I'm not hearing a whole lot except for, you know, the majority of shows here on TNT. I think would like to see a ceasefire. I'm not hearing a lot of calls for ceasefire from Western world leaders. And apparently if you do call for a ceasefire, you might get called a Hamas supporter now. I don't know. The war propaganda is in full effect right now. And we're all seeing that. And back to the national news here. Cartel kidnappers used a Florida Airbnb, fake badges, and police lights to abduct and waterboard the wrong guy. Oh, man. I don't know where to start. Why are cartel kidnappers getting Airbnbs? First off, open borders. Fake badges and police lights to abduct someone. Yeah, you got to watch out for that. You know, that's a thing. And it's on the rise here in the United States. So, you know, if you ever see red and blue lights behind you and you have any reason to think it may not actually be the police, you can just call 911, you know, and ask them to verify that this is actually an officer behind you. You know, that's not that is a good practice, I would say right now in the United States. Right now, we have sliding, jugging, all these stupid names for old crimes, violent crimes. I think they're using these terms because they don't really connotate the violence and potential loss of life that is involved with someone blocking your car in when you pull into a parking space, for example. and trying to open your passenger door and steal your purse right off of you. Or, you know, sometimes they'll pull a car over diagonally in front of you on the road and another car will come up behind you. A lot of that going on. So got to keep situational awareness up and definitely be prepared in whatever that means to you, whatever you can legally do and are morally prepared to do to prepare yourself. But yes, cartel members here, three men accused of abducting a Florida man. Oh, poor Florida man. It's always either good news or bad news. In Fort Lauderdale at gunpoint, waterboarding him and then trying to enlist his help in their plot when they realized they'd taken the wrong person. Wow. So this is according to a federal indictment unsealed just yesterday. The alleged victim played along until he got away long enough to call in a bomb threat that sent a massive police response to the rescue, authorities said. Wow, that's I can't condone that. That would probably be unethical for me to do on air, but that is the kind of out of the box thinking that could have saved this guy's life right there. The suspects are two brothers, one Jeffrey Arista, 32, one Jonathan Arista, 29, and a third man named Raymond Gomez. U.S. citizens, probably not cartel members. Yeah, a lot of face tattoos. Yikes, a lot of scary face tattoos. Good job looking scary there, buddy. They allegedly snatched the man in a parking garage outside his Fort Lauderdale home around 7:30 a.m. wearing fake badges and forcing him into the back of a Dodge Charger with police-style lights, according to the court documents. Yeah, you probably could have recognized this as not a cop by the copious forehead, eyebrow, under eye, and side of face tattoos. Just saying, this Jeffrey Arista not looking very law enforcement-esque, although Jonathan Arista lacks those face tattoos, so maybe he was the... and another guy, this Raymond guy, he's got dreadlocks. And a busted looking nose. Maybe the cops did that when they picked him up. But yes, so when the police arrived, they arrested Jeffrey Arista. They had cell phone video, according to the indictment. Two of these guys tried to flee and then crashed a Porsche. What are they doing in a Porsche? My goodness, Airbnbs, Porsches, kidnappings, absolute insanity. So that has gone down in Florida. Let's see, what do we got here? In Indiana, we got an Indiana shot homeowner shot and killed an intruder who allegedly attacked him in his living room. Kokomo police officers responded to a home on East Jackson Street Sunday over a report of a break-in, according to the department's press release on the matter. The homeowner has not been identified at this point, told police he was asleep in the home when he woke up to find an unknown male creeping around his living room. The homeowner attempted to get the male to leave his home when the male physically attacked the homeowner. That was when the homeowner reportedly grabbed his gun and shot the suspect in an attempt to, quote, stop the continued physical altercation, end quote. By the way, that is, if you ever have to defend yourself, something I've learned on the Google University, the YouTube University, you don't want to say too much. If something like that were to happen to you, it's important that when you call the police and you tell them what's happened, that you say nothing more than that. You know, I attempted to stop the physical altercation with my firearm. That's about all you want to say without a lawyer present. You don't want to give a whole bunch of details, especially if it's in your home. In almost every state, I don't know about California, New York, Maryland, and a couple others, Pennsylvania, I don't know how that works in states like that, but most states here in the United States, you have something akin to the Castle Doctrine like we have here in Texas. So, yeah, well, that's the kind of thing that's going on. And, we've also got squatters and homeless camps ravaging neighborhoods, people that have to clean it up get physically ill. That's happening in Escambia County, Florida. It's happening all over the nation, but new news on that one out of Florida right there. Again, Florida man. All right, we're going to take a brief moment here while we get some words from today's news talk, and we're going to bring the odd man out on the other side here on the Brian McClain Show at TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Alan Miller.
One of the things about the Canadian truckers is they were demonized, they were scapegoated, but actually what they wanted to do was have a public discussion about the situation and decisions around policies, how people have been, like, basically misinformed and demonized and smeared, and you weren't allowed to actually ask questions, let alone put forward a different opinion. And we know that as well. It wasn't in Moscow or anywhere else, it was actually in Canada that people had their accounts shut down, that people had the they were giving donations to the Canadian truckers. Very inspiring. Lots of the public thought it was fantastic. Civil engagement, an alternative position, not agreeing with the consensus, and had the support of the public. And yet many people that were funding it were actually debanked. And we've seen that dynamic happening in Britain and elsewhere in the recent period. And it's up to everyone who believes in freedom to challenge those things and have their voices heard together.
Alan Miller on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
tntradio.live.
All right, we are experiencing yet another hashtag current thing, yet another hashtag conflict, war, battle, I don't know. Is this the holy war? Are we at the point now where the divisiveness has to come to a holy war? Well, that certainly is the way that some of the pundits are talking about there. There is a staggering lack of people asking for a cessation of violence and to be allowed to have a deeper conversation. There is a staggering lack of skepticism about the war propaganda coming from all sides right now. We could probably point fingers in both directions on that. But should we be surprised? I mean, look at the way the Ukraine conflict started off. We were bombarded. We were literally bombarded with war propaganda there. We were told that we have to step up. We have to send $100 billion over there. We have to do all this because we're protecting democracy, while our own government is labeling conservatives here in the United States domestic terrorists for going against the mainstream narratives on things like COVID, things like J6, things like CRT, DEI. We could go on and on and on. Things like saying, I want to have my parents' rights. I, as a parent, want to be able to decide what my kid learns in school, where my kid goes to school, what kind of people are teaching him or her. That's right. I said it, him or her. Come after me. I dare you. Right now, war propaganda is on full Spinal Tap 11, as I keep saying. And joining me now is Jason Hodge, also known as the Odd Man Out, host of the Oddcast, which can be found on Podbean and at alternatecurrentradio.com. Jason, it's great to have you back on the show. It's been a minute. You've done an 11-part series now on the ins and outs of history, culture, religion, esoterics, the politics associated with Israel. And you've talked a lot about the difference between Zionism and, those that are simply of Jewish faith. There seems to be a rift in the media right now where they don't want us talking about those sort of differences and these sort of pieces of history and politics. And this is your specialty. You're our correspondent for esoteric politics and history here. So start us off and tell us what you thought when you first saw the news breaking last Saturday.
Well, I can't say that I was surprised. I mean, I was surprised it was such a major effort. And of course, like a lot of people, I was surprised that they seemed to get through the security and the surveillance of Israel, which is obviously worldwide known to be the best there is. But, you know, a few days before that happened, the Al-Aqsa Mosque was stormed by some Israelis spreading cow blood around and just really causing havoc. And you didn't hear too much about that in the press, but there's been a lot of these different things happening to kind of build this up. I think Abby Martin did a video that she kind of talked about maybe 8 or 9 things that kind of led to this. And I don't agree with a lot of her politics, but this is, she did a really good job at talking about things that are not really being mentioned. So I can't say that I was really surprised, but you know, now where we are right now, I didn't see that coming. You know, and I think that, especially after the war on terror, everything that we went through, all the death and the debt and the displacement and just the, all the horrors, I didn't see this coming so quickly. I thought there would be more reserved voices out there who had learned from the mistakes.
Yeah, it's amazing to me when I hear people, it's almost like it's an audition to be a Fox News host at this point. For so many people, and the polarization that is required to buy in is pretty staggering. I'm with you. I was a little bit taken aback. There was a moment of media shock and awe there when I started seeing the bifurcation within the, I don't know what to call it, you know, the independent media, the alternative media, those that consume that stuff over mass media. All of a sudden, it was just like an enormous wedge just got dropped in there. And I start seeing all these people, these, you know, conservative voices who have been saying, hey, you know, the government classified me a terrorist because I'm conservative. But now that same government is saying I need to get behind this conflict. So I'm going to do it. It's just like, what are you doing? You know, it's really amazing to witness it all go down.
It really is. And, you know, we kind of joke around, you know, there's that meme about, I think it's maybe Mitch McConnell, and he's got all these logos on him. And, it, you know, it's the kind of joke we wish that politicians would wear their suits with their logos, their sponsors like NASCAR drivers. And we're seeing people nowadays on social media with their profile pictures, they kind of actually show you who they're kind of working for or just kind of shilling for. And yeah, it's been pretty insane, especially the level that some of these voices are going to, just really becoming unhinged. And, you know, I try to tell people that a lot of this, the divisiveness when it comes to Israel is meant also towards average Israelis, because they need them scared and on edge. They need, you know, the people that are in charge that want to rule them, you know, the governments and the rabbis and whatnot. They need them on edge and always ready to fight. And they need to make them feel like, well, nobody's going to take care of you. You know, everybody's against you and you need to lean on us because we'll protect you. So the propaganda goes both ways. They're, you know, their government has done the same thing. In fact, I saw an interview by somebody today, might have been Scott Ritter, and he was saying that they've actually just placed into law, if you're an Israeli and you speak out against this war, you could go to jail. So that's a brand new thing as far as I know. And so, you know, it's really amazing what's going on as far as, like, you're just not allowed to be against this particular effort.
Yeah, and it's my understanding that there's a significant percentage of Israelis that are not down with what the government is doing, and, you know, would like to see a cessation of violence, and that's pretty frightening, you know. And we're seeing that in France, we're seeing that in Germany, we're getting to the point where we're going to be seeing the ability to do similar things in Canada and throughout the EU with some of these bills that are closing in on everybody, how that affects our global ability to conduct free speech and open conversation is a little bit murky to me at this point. You know, it's like, well, I'm a citizen here in the United States. I have a First Amendment right. That's already being violated by my government and by the companies in Silicon Valley. And now there's entire, you know, G7 blocks that are, you know, stamping down free speech and telling people, you know, hey, if you have just ridiculous arbitrary things. Like if you have more than 1,000 social media followers, you're going to have to sign up to the Canadian equivalent of the FCC, you know, and then you're subject to, you know, whatever, whatever Turdo wants. I mean, it's pretty scary to see that happening. They're talking about deporting people. If you don't talk right, also, this is another tactic I've seen. If you talk anywhere outside of like Sean Hannity's verbal range, then all of a sudden you get called as a Hamas supporter. Even just saying, I would like to see a cessation of violence and see all this footage, you know, verified and you know that I'm not being lied to by intelligence agencies.
Absolutely. They're framing a narrative, you know, they're framing, you know, it's Sean and, you know, Ingram and all these like regular voices, all these kind of mainstream conservatives and even some of the newer ones too. And they were the same ones who lied to us repeatedly during the war on terror, during Afghanistan and Iraq wars that were just disasters. So many people died and just the debt and, you know, all the freedoms we lost under the supposed fight of the war on terror. You know, we lost a lot of freedoms here domestically, and I'm sure other countries did as well. And so it's really strange too to me now that we've kind of gotten away a few days away from this original attack, that a lot of these, or at least a few of these former IDF members had spoke out and said, hey, look, this was allowed to happen. There's something not right about this. You know, we've heard numerous times you can't get near that place without 20 Jeeps rolling up on you within just a few minutes. And at a time when Netanyahu and that whole government was really under fire from the people, you know, they were really having a hard time getting the people together because this new government since January is not liked, you know, because they wanted to implement these kind of Talmudic and kind of ancient Noahide laws, and the people are not having it. So interesting that this all happened at the same time.
Wow. Well, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. What an opportunity to get a government formed in an emergency basis. I mean, it's absolutely that is not lost on me. I know that's not lost on a lot of people. You know, there's sort of an Emperor Palpatine moment that happened there after this crystallizing event, right? And then the narrative that's dropped on everybody. And then the war drums start to beat. And then a headline drops on us right here at today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Big news, news.
Story which contains more than first meets the ear.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Israel insists it did not bomb that hospital in Gaza. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowing to do what they can in the war against Hamas to avoid civilian casualties as he sat next to President Biden. The president also says it appears that hospital bombing in Gaza that killed hundreds of Palestinian civilians was done, in his words, by the other team. Rishi Sunak has threatened to immediately cancel the visas of foreign nationals who promote anti-Semitism or other hate crime.
If you miss your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We're also on all major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, iHeart, and TuneIn. Now there's no reason to miss out on anything on TNT radio.
Now, Jason, the hospital bombing is actually a perfect example here of the, forgive the term, the Mexican propaganda standoff that we all find ourselves in, right? Everybody knows what a Mexican standoff is. It's when you got two people pointing guns at each other and nobody wants to pull the trigger first. Or in this case, maybe we're all pulling the trigger. But anyways, we've got... there's only two sides to this story, and both sides of the story, Jason, you'll hear people say, well, that's the other side's propaganda. They did it. Mm-hmm. And the other side says, well, that's the other side's propaganda. They did it. But in the meantime, we should know that we can't know the actual answer to that, at least generally speaking. Some of us are in Twitter spaces and Telegram channels and have a very deep understanding, or at least think we do, of, you know, the footage that we're taking in. Some footage is better than others. Some of it's more obvious, but a lot of it's flack. A lot of it's propaganda. People putting AI images up, people making narratives that don't have anything no raw evidence to go with them. So, you know, you're either of the mindset that, hey, the people of Palestine are being carpet bombed, and this is indiscriminate warfare. And look, Israel, one of their JDAM missiles hit a hospital, and 500 people are dead. And then on the other side, you'll hear people saying, no, that's Hamas propaganda coming from Hamas-controlled Gaza health ministers. And they did it themselves, and they're so stupid. It was actually just the parking garage next to it that blew up with their hastily formed munitions. And I'm not there. You're not there. I know there's propaganda inbound, potentially from both sides. And it doesn't make me personally say, let's send money and weapons over there. It makes me say, can we pump the brakes and request for a ceasefire, a humanitarian corridor to open up, a plan for the non-combatants? But I'm not really hearing any of this in mainstream or even most alt-conservative realms.
No, I'm not either. And, you know, talking about sending more weapons or giving more funding, I mean, it's unbelievable how much money that America gives Israel to begin with, $3.8 billion per year of an already rich country, like the 13th richest country. It's the size of New Jersey. We give them like $8 million in loan guarantees. And how fast did the Biden administration give that $8 billion right after this attack? It was like the next day or something like that. They can't do anything to help the American people quickly, but man, they can, you know, fund this foreign government. And again, that's one of the most wealthiest governments, you know, in existence. The seventh largest arms exporter, small country like that. I mean, they're very high up on the NASDAQ, make an obscene amount of money on tourism. I looked it up a couple of years ago. It was something like $6 trillion or something like that, maybe a little bit less than that. But it was an insane amount on tourism. So I just don't think we should be funding governments like that when we're $33 trillion in debt. You know, you look back at Thomas Jefferson said that debt is the single worst threat to liberty, bar none, even more so than a standing army. So I think our priorities have really gotten screwed up.
No talk about the people in Lahaina. No talk about the people in our own Palestine, East Palestine, Ohio. None of that. And the same government that wants our support for this, for sending more money to another war front, is the same government that just locked us down, tried to coerce everybody to take these mRNA experimental gene therapy shots. Same government that destroyed over 100,000 restaurants in our own country. Same government that has a wide open border that has allowed chemical warfare to happen right here on our soil, over 100,000 dead people from fentanyl. And they're like, remember that $100 billion we sent to defend democracy in Ukraine, where they take churches out and jail and torture journalists and close out opposing political parties? That democracy, that well spent $100 billion, we're going to start sending it over to Israel now. And I saw yesterday, Jason, there's 380,000 reservists that have been called up in Israel right now. And they're saying that the next phase of their war, I'm paraphrasing the IDF here, the next phase of their war may not be a ground war, a ground invasion in Gaza. I mean, dot, dot, dot. What does that mean to you? To me, I'm seeing munitions landing in Syria, in Lebanon, and all this war prattle about Iran. I mean, what do you think about that?
I absolutely think that's a chance because, you know, if you look at the, some say the Greater Israel Project or plan, some say the Greater Middle East Plan, under Condoleezza Rice, 2006, it was called the New Middle East Plan. But if you go back even farther than that, you look at the original father of Zionism, Theodor Herzl, and in his diary, the second volume, they've got a map in there, and they originally planned on having a large part of the Middle East to call Israel. It included Lebanon, it included at least part of Egypt, Syria, most of the Levant. And so you have to take that into consideration because they were pretty clear about their original plans, and then move, you know, a few decades on up to the greater Israel Middle East plan, and then Condoleezza Rice. I think the Carnegie Endowment, or one of the Carnegie institutions, actually wrote her plan that she kind of brought forth, called the New Middle East plan. They want to kind of divvy up the Middle East, give Israel a larger chunk, of course, and kind of balkanize the rest of the Middle East and make it controllable. And you have to think that part of that is because of certain resources, natural resources that they can get and control. And, you know, it always leads back to money, no matter what.
Yeah. Amazingly, though, again, we're in a media environment and a social media environment where we can't even have a discussion like this one without a bunch of people saying, you support this, you support that, you're this, you're that. And it's like, how did we not learn the lessons of COVID? I mean, Jason, in our final minutes here, just a minute left. Do we have any wars we can point to that didn't start with a catalyzing event that was then highly questionable in hindsight?
None that I can think of. And the more we look into it, the more we realize that they've used these excuses, false flags, or whatever you want to call them, as excuses to go to war. And the wars are not even really meant to be won. I think that they want to be able to do things under the fog of war. And I think that's what most of these modern wars have been about.
Yeah, I agree with you, my friend. And I just, you know, I pointed this out last Thursday on Boiler Room, and I'll say it again. I'm probably going to keep saying it. Right now, we have an opportunity, because of our information environment, to say, wait a minute, the catalyzing event is questionable. Can we just pause, get the innocent people away from there, come up with some sort of plan, and make sure we understand what just happened? I don't think that's too much to ask for anyone, but I'm sure someone will call me Hamas for even suggesting it. Jason, take us out. Let everyone know where to find you. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, _TheOddManOut on Twitter or Instagram. And yeah, I just pray for peace on both sides. I don't pray for peace with just one group of people. Let's pray for peace for everyone and hope this ends quickly.
There you go. Well said, my friend. That's The Odd Man Out, host of The Oddcast. Find it on Podbean, Alternate Current Radio, and anywhere where podcasts are found. Thanks for joining me, Odd Man Out. We'll have you back on again real soon here on The Brian McClain Show at Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Folks, just as any information cited by the media that comes from Hamas needs to be looked at with much doubt, I mean, they are terrorists after all, the same doubt needs to be raised whenever the members of the squad give you facts. Last Thursday, squad member Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a.k.a. AOC, tweeted out a warning about misinformation. I guess no one told her fellow squad member, Ilhan Omar. She retweeted a claim about the deaths of children in Gaza under the headline, Child Genocide in Palestine. Mediaite reports the graphic photo was not from the current conflict and the children had nothing to do with Gaza at all. A community note that was added to the tweet made clear with evidence the photo was actually of the aftermath of a sarin gas attack in 2013 in Syria and is featured in articles from sites such as National Geographic and UPI. Omar eventually got rid of her horribly inaccurate retweet. I urge you all to be very careful about what you accept as fact from those who commit barbaric terrorist acts and those who support them. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A global program for digital identity supported by the World Economic Forum is well underway, but the mainstream media fails to report it and the dangers it presents to individual privacy and freedom from government control. Australia has a trusted digital identity framework. New Zealand has a digital identity services trust framework. And there's the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. You get the picture. Governments clearly want our trust in this program, and several nations claim adopting digital identities will be voluntary, including Australia. But Australians were told COVID vaccines would be voluntary. That didn't stop the mandates. Australia's Digital Economy Strategy 2030 states we'll be succeeding when, quote, the significant majority of Australians over 18 are registered for MyGovID or other trusted digital identity, unquote. And that, quote, all new businesses are born digital through streamlined business registration. Is this really voluntary?
Deconstructing PSYOPs, propaganda, and mainstream media BS. You're with Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, yes. All right. Final segment here. I have one of my colleagues from today's News Talk joining me. Very pleased to welcome Hervory Morich from the Hervory Morich Show right here on today's News Talk. Hervory, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining me today.
It's always great to join you, chat with you, hang out with you. What's going on?
Just watching the world just fall into a global technocracy and hoping it doesn't fall into a global conflict sooner than later. I'm finding this all a little bit, I don't want to be dramatic about it. I'm finding it all, quite frankly, to be exactly how I expected it would be if a giant polarizing, catalyzing event was going to start a holy war in 2023. Wasn't really expecting it last Saturday, but here it is. And I'm just curious to get your take on the media environment involved with this right now, because it seems very difficult. One has to really dig and dig and spend a lot of time on, listening to TNT and all the various ideas and guests here and hosts. The Twitter spaces have been a absolute battleground on this. A lot of relationships breaking down. It kind of reminds me of when COVID came along or when Ukraine came along. I mean, what are you seeing in all this?
Just what you mentioned earlier, you know, it's for many of us, we were waiting for all of this to come, you know, listening for decades to the Alex Joneses and, you know, for those of us looking at Bible prophecy and all this stuff. And it's all happening on the one hand. So I always use the term like it's not surprising, but it's still shocking, as you mentioned, to be experiencing it now. Like it's happening. And regarding the media space, I'm having the same troubles. It's very difficult. I don't like to jump the gun, as many people are, as you sort of mentioned, whether they're 100% pro-Palestine and totally anti-Israel or vice versa. Last week, I don't know if you noticed this, you know, I got caught up with this media thing. So there's this Russian Telegram channel that I follow, Inessa, who mm-hmm. used to do good work translating a lot of Russian material into English. You know, people like Russian intellectual Andrei Fursov, who I'm a fan of, she translates his hour-long speech into English. She posts a clip that's, it looked real. You know, it looked like a BBC clip, 1 minute, professionally produced, and it's saying that Ukraine was sending weapons to Hamas and that Bellingcat, You know, Bellingcat, right? That's that run by Elliot Higgins, the former underwear salesman. And Bellingcat is a NATO Pentagon MI6 operation. They get financing from them, from CIA, from Pentagon. They're basically, it's a facade. You know, they pretend to be neutral. And so it was the clip was saying Bellingcat was approving this and that this would have been grounds for the U.S. to exit NATO. So, okay, I share that clip. And immediately Elliot Higgins comments on my tweet of that clip. I post the video. And then they try to shame me. So I get caught up with the Bellingcat NATO folks. and then, you know, I deleted the video because they said it was fake, you know, because they were in the video, you know. And so they took a screenshot of me posting it on Twitter. And then they were trying to shame me. And I just retweet them and say, oh, look, I'm going to be famous, the NATO propagandists. And then they shut up, you know, because they can't get to me, you know. And so it's really becoming difficult. And I now with the whole hospital thing, you've got IDF saying, oh, we got these clips from two Hamas fighters saying it was their missile. Then people are telling me that was debunked. And then, Saudi's foreign minister comes out today saying, we're very unhappy with what happened. And then you've got both sides saying it was the other, and I got no idea what's going on.
Sure. I know. And it's like, What's with this 500 figure? How do you know it's exactly 500 people? It's like, it's a massive red flag when something happens that seems like it shouldn't have, and then we're given all of the context from the media. Like, I'm not taking video clips of guys on paragliders with GoPros attached to them and Kalashnikovs, you know, 10 seconds of that and saying, oh yeah, that equals they massacred all these young people at a rave. You know, even that story's coming out very, very fuzzy and very poorly documented right now. And again, I'm glad you brought up Bellingcat. I'm sorry you had a run in with them. They can be nasty. We had multiple of those, Patrick Henningsen, myself, and a lot of the people we were working with when we were working Syria really hard between 2016 and 2014 to 2018. But Bellingcat was in there with the White Helmets. They were the ones, one of the ones promoting the White Helmets group, which again is another, it's a media cutout. It's basically an intelligence cutout, Western, you know, multi-Western intelligence cutout that does media that, you know, so that's one of the reasons I personally, when I see videos coming out of conflict, I know there are characters like Bellingcat on one side. I'm sure there's probably characters similar on the other side. Wouldn't be surprised if the same intelligence companies are in both of them, quite frankly. But yeah, it's just like there's no forbearance for so many people. It's like they there's the need to have the hot take too. You know, it's difficult to not see, especially when you do what we do. It's difficult to see something like that and be like, you know, I think I got it. Here's my hot take. But it's just shocking to me to see how many people are taking government and intelligence-based and corporate, you know, media-based narratives on as the context for their reality.
I don't mind getting caught up with Bellingcat. That gives me some anti-globalist, anti-NATO yes. street credibility. So Bellingcat, guys, just keep at it. But you know, and just using that example, that video that I shared, you know, that could have been, you know, we have to be fair, that could have been Russian propaganda. So, yep. And I said it was an honest mistake, which it was. But then they're like, no, you're getting paid by Putin, blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, there is false Russian propaganda that's being promoted. There's the NATO stuff. Hey, maybe it was actually, as you mentioned, maybe it was, you know, NATO propaganda. And then I got cooked by it. And so even the IDF on Twitter today, one of their top posts, they're talking about information warfare and misinformation. And again, it's really becoming difficult because now you have to spend a lot more time and you have to learn new skills when it comes to AI and all this stuff to verify things. And so again, it's and you know, some of us, we don't have the time, we don't have the resources, we don't have a team to help us figure that out. And then there are people also in the mainstream and non-mainstream media who they want to get those clicks, and also that's mm-hmm. disingenuous. You know, there are famous YouTubers and tweeters and stuff, and they're just throwing stuff out there, and I'm just more reserved. I don't like to do that sort of thing.
I'm of the same mind, you know, like I've developed a methodology over the years for examining, in particular, what Patrick and I have called the daily shooter event. We've had so many highly politicized shootings here in the United States over the years that we've started to, you know, for years, we've been examining them in real time as they happen. We have a series of, you know, I literally have a notepad set up ready to take the initial reports, the initial names, the who, the what, the where, the when, and then the anomalies, you know, and then changes in narrative. It's like I've got this whole framework. And, you know, like, for example, when Uvalde happened, I applied my framework to that. And that was recently after I'd started working here at TNT. So I was able to Monday through Friday kind of go through it as it was developing and apply all that to it. And in every single one of those, you find hallmarks, you find red flags, and you find things to look for that create patterns. And the same thing has happened. You know, you could use that same framework to this, to the breakout of this conflict, I would argue. But the problem now is that almost every day there's 9 or 10 events I could do that with. And it takes a lot of time, like you're saying, to really dive deep in, which I've done time after time after time. And the messed up thing is I still can't tell you what actually happened at any of those events. And I'm about, you know, sort of people that were there that can't say anything or won't say anything, as far as just being a media observer. I'm about as expert as you can be on these things. And I got to tell you, there's no answer. And it's frightening to me to see that the rest of the public doesn't have this level of discernment after all the lies we've been told.
But I think this, where we're headed, is actually the goal of the global government, where we won't be able to tell what's real or not. And then they're, you know, I always cite Eric Schmidt, formerly of Google. He said that was the goal with Google, that they would erase this. There would be no more search results. It's just going to be one answer and whatever they tell you. And, you know, supposedly it's the science. It's true. It's the authorities, you know. You had those clowns, the German health minister and the Drosten guy yesterday talking about this, that, you know, they were miffed that there's so much disinformation going on. Nobody believes us. But, you know, only the authorities, the institutions are the only ones who can talk about anything. Anyone else, you know, your persona non grata. But also what you mentioned, which is important now, you know, 20 years ago, like you said, we could have. But, you know, I used to have bookmarks and bookmark all of these links, thousands of links, yeah. And they don't work anymore. And it's like you have to now create an alternative system. You know, my public Telegram channel is useful because it's the links that I've posted over the past couple of years are still there. So I can just type in the search and pull up the article I was thinking of real quick. Again, I can't rely on Telegram 100%. But if you're going to do anything like what you mentioned today, you're going to have to save those websites as PDFs or something like that, you know, buy a hard external hard disk and create some system where you can archive this, because they're deleting everything. Yeah. You know, just a recent example this week, there was a Reuters article discussing how Putin had compared what the Israelis were doing in Gaza to some, you know, Nazi blitzkrieg in the past, something like that. And then when I went to read that article on air, they had rewritten it. That was not there anymore. But because I had excerpted the quote to my Telegram, I had it. And so Reuters maybe was intentionally fostering propaganda by saying Putin used the Nazi term, and maybe he didn't. But we all know Reuters is linked. You know, there's a Reuters article about Reuters being linked to MI6 back in the 70s and just being a facade for intelligence. And so, yeah, it's getting crazy.
No, it really is. I was actually listening on air when you discovered that, and I totally lit up when I heard that, because I was like, see, this is exactly what's happening. This is exactly what they do. You know, same with the like 40 dead babies story. It's like CNN ran with that one for like the first 3 days, and then they had to retract it to a certain point. And I went to their website as soon as that retraction was, you know, announced, that walk back that was done, and nothing there about it. You know, no, oh, we were wrong, or no, where this information came from, where it went wrong, like how, you know, no correction, no nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's and that was the classic, you know, 1990 incubator babies. It was the classic, yep. Classic thing. And then they put us in the position where if you say that's not true, you know, then they throw, here comes the wave, the yes. Baby killer, the anti-Semite, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wait, yeah. They've lied to us in the past. It's just, so show us the evidence, you know, it's crazy.
It's really simple, you know. It's like, okay, and this goes for the vax, this goes for J6, this goes for the election, it goes for COVID itself. Just show us all you, instead of calling us all idiots and anti-Semites and haters and grandma killers and, you know, homophobes and all these things, show us the evidence. Don't give us a narrative from a liar mouthpiece in the mass media. Just show us the data, show us the information, give us the context that proves the narrative correct. It's not too much to ask for, I don't think.
They can only show that to the experts, and then we have to believe what the experts say, you know, or like 9/11, you know, all of the rubble was sent, put on ships and sent off to China somewhere. And it's just, yeah, they're just, you know, complete liars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sandy Hook, they bulldozed the school. All right. Well, we're just about out of time here, Hevore. Check out the Hevore Moritz Show right here at TNT, Today's News Talk, Monday through Friday. And that is from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, correct, sir?
8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, yeah. Yeah.
8 to 10. Thank you. Thank you. 8 to 10, 2 hours. That's what I meant to say. I was trying to translate it from Central Time, and I screwed that up. But that's where to find him. Geopolitics and Empire also. Thank you, Hevore.
Always great to chat with you.
Absolutely, man. Really appreciate everything you do here at TNT. Thanks for joining me, and stay tuned for the Misty Winston Show coming up next right here on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.